Today, its title is To Tame the Tongue Skillfully. Today's scripture reading is James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. I'd like to read one more time, James chapter 3, 8 to 12. I'd like to read, "But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or the vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh." Hallelujah. God has only given us humans the ability to speak. Animals talk among themselves, but it is very limited. Importantly, this speaking organ, the tongue, is only 2 inches long, but it can do incredible things. James, the author of our text, used 2 examples to illustrate the power of the tongue. The first, he compared it to a beast that you put in the horse mouth. A horse will learn wild because it doesn't have a way out. But once you put on the beast in its mouth, it's under control. The beast is so small compared to the horse size, but by trying it to stream, you can control the horse. The tongue is also very small, but by controlling the tongue, we can control our whole body. If we cannot control our tongue, we can only become a wild animal, a wild horse that runs wild. A gagged horse is beneficial to people. A controlled tongue is one that can guide you on the right path in life. The second thing is that the steers of the rudder, a big ship, is a very small rudder attached to the back of the ship. No matter how big the ship is, as soon as the rudder moves, the ship moves in that direction. The same is true of our lives, of course. It is the tongue that deceives the course of our lives, for it can be the shipwreck or the harbor of our desires. So here's what the Bible says about the importance of our tongue. And Jesus said in the Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 to 37, I like to read, "And I say to you that every careless word that man shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your word you shall be condemned." James goes on to emphasize that this power of the tongue has a very close relationship to our salvation. In James chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. "So, also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as the which defies the entire body, and set on the fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell." The destructive power of the tongue is such that a single word can ruin your entire life, just as a small ember can burn down mountains. You can see how a single word spoken in a moment of impatience can tear down everything that took years of efforts to build in an instant. Just one word can destroy relationship with others. Even a word thrown with malice can hurt someone who isn't even present at the moment. While you may excuse it as a careless remark, it can deeply when the person who hears it and causes them to stumble. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, there is a warning to us. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of the sword, but the tongue of the wise brings hearing, right? That is why James calls the tongue is a hellfire, a word of unrighteousness, a word of evil. You can see verse 6. He also calls it an unquenchable evil and killing poison in the verse 8. Why is it that the things that come out of our mouths are like a hellfire, evil and poison? It is because there is something unclean in our hearts. The Lord spoke words of caution about our tongues and words, because after fall, we all become children of the serpent, children of the devil. In the Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 to 35, you brood of vipers. See, how can you, being evil, speak that is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which it fills the heart. So, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth that is what is evil. God is speaking of our fallen human natures. Every word that comes out of your mouth defies you more than the other person's. When you curse at someone else, it is like throwing filth in your own face. For what filthy word, the filthy curse shows itself to be filthy to the one who speaks it. Why? Because as the Lord said, what is in one's heart comes out of one's mouth. Every word that comes from an untamed tongue is like a constant stream of filth. It sets the entire course of the speaker's life on fire. It burns everything from birth to death, consuming all in its path. Even the tongue itself will be scorched by the flames of hell. Our lives can crumble from just a single word spoken by this tongue. In the original language, this hellfire is a fire from hell. What characterizes this hellfire is that it never goes out. You can see the Mark chapter 9, verse 48. That's why the Bible says that life and death depends on how you use your tongue. Let's look at the Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. All the organs of the body diminish in function and gradually bow down with ages. But the viciousness of the tongue, if not tamed, become more and more severe, more and more stubborn, more and more intense. So is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. The scripture is the desire about our mind. I like to read, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. How good it would be to be lived like this. James goes on to affirm that every creature can be tamed, but the tongue is one half no one can tame. You can see the James chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. When the wind blows, look at the flames that ignite as the California wildfire spread, carried by the wind, growing into a massive blaze that covers the land. Didn't we wait for it to die down naturally? Now, listen to the curse spewed out in anger. Who can dare stop them? they truly seem like unquenchable hellfire. You witness uncontrollable evil pouring forth, filled with the venom that leads to death. Indeed, such a tongue is an endless source of weakness. The problem is that despite knowing the sinfulness of these tongues, no one is able to control them. No one stands by and stops them. In the end, you are the one who should be controlling, but you can't, because it's tied to your character, to your heart, to your mindset. So is the Apostle Paul is talk about our heart from the Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 31. I'll let the read 28 to 29. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, weakness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossip. The Apostle Paul had this to say about it in Romans chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of apes is under their lips. Without the mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. In other words, the heart is so full of ugly things that it spills out through the channel of the mouth. So much so that the psalmist prays for the gatekeeper and watchman to guard the door of the mouth. You can see the Psalm 141, verse 3, said God, O Lord, over my mouth, keep watch over the door of my lips. And also Psalm 30, chapter 39, verse 1, I guard my mouth as with the muzzle, with the wicked are in my presence. Controlling your mouth, be it the putting the watchman over it, is not enough. There must be a work of emptying out of all the filthy things in your heart and refreshing them with good things. You cannot control your tongue by human effort. You must rely on God. It is only by His wisdom that you can do. Let's look at the chapter 10, verse 19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. James is also accusing the tongue of duplicity and contradictions. In the James chapter 3, verse 10, I like to read, from the same mouth come both the blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. For out of the same mouth came two words, just as the serpent tongue is split in two. Because every human being since Adam has eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it refers to our fallen human nature, where good and evil come out of the same mouth. Therefore, we need to receive the wisdom from the Lord so that we may keep what is good and reject what is evil. In the Psalm chapter 34, verse 12 to 14, I like to read that, who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. It is as if they are like those whose unclean lips, like Isaiah, have been sealed by the burning coal from the altar of God. You can see the Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. But yet he had not yet attained to holiness and perfections. end of the Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. That is a very praise must not come from our single lips, nor cursing against the saint, a man made in image of God. For to curse a saint is the same evil as cursing God, who created him in his own image and likeness. Sweet water and the bitter water cannot come out of the same fountain. Nor can good and evil come out of the same leaves, for this is the sign of double-minded persons. For even though we have become very new people through faith in Jesus, we have not completely abolished our fallen nature. There is a warfare within us. Let's look at the Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh, he said, is desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. How can we, as a Christian, ensure that only praise and the sweet water come out of our lips? It is only by filling our heart with the Holy Spirit and the fullness of word. As our heart are filled and built up with the good things of God, only good things will come out of our lips. Let's look at the Psalm 119, verse 171. Let my lips utter praise, for thou dost teach me thy statutes. The purpose for which God originally gave us our mouths, that is, we declare my praise. You can see that Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. Even for the future people, God wants to be to praise. You can see that Psalm 102, verse 18, that a person yet to be created may praise the Lord. Amen. We must never forget the solution to our problem is in Christ. Amen. Our lips should be God's lips speaking blessing, not curse. So Jesus ordered us in the Luke chapter 6, verse 28, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. And also in the Apostle Paul in the Rome chapter 12, verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. Amen. The kind of person you are determined by your words. Your words become an expression of who you are. The words that come out of our mouths should be pure and good. When dirty words come out of our mouths, it means that there is still dirt inside of us. When both dirty and clean words come out, it doesn't mean that one is good and the other is dirty. It means that there is still unreserved evil inside of you. Especially when lies come out, this is deadly. Because the leaves that invent lies are hell. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 22, verse 15. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. We must become true believers before God in order to control our tongues. We should pray earnestly, asking that our tongues be used only an instrument of blessing. We must plead that our tongues be used solely to confess the blessed name of God. We should pray that our tongues be used to give thanks for God's grace and to sing His praise. We must ask that our tongues be used not for words of curse, but to offer comfort and encouragement to others. We should pray that through our tongues by sharing the word of Father, those in darkness may receive the eternal light. I bless and pray that as we earnestly seek His kingdom and His will with such a fervent supplication, and as we become filled with the Word, the Holy Spirit, and the light among us, our lips will no longer be our own. Amen. May they become the lips of Jesus, producing only good and fruitful words, and become a spiritual lips that speak blessings. May you and I believe and work in these truths. Amen.